Oh, yeah. Today, this session, as it is scheduled, talk. So I will talk on the topic. From tomorrow, we'll start the session with the meditation, then followed with the talk. I will not spend a whole hour from tomorrow. I will not spend a whole hour to talk. But today we'll do that because we need to cover it quite a lot. Because to do the meditation, we need to recall last 2 years in our talks. I will not do all, but briefly to recall some of the important points that we covered and also we meditated in the last two years during the retreat. So as I briefly mentioned yesterday evening, the main theme this during this retreat will be my talk as well as the meditation will be on the ultimate nature of the mind. Ultimate nature of the mind. We can also use another term, the vipassana. Vipassana meditation, vipassana itself is a very general term. It is a particular way of approaching meditation, but it can be, that kind of meditation can be done with many different topics, And here the topic will be the mind itself, and within, not just mind itself, but the ultimate nature of the mind. So the this year's main theme. But to do that, then the last 2 years' retreat topics are very relevant, and not just very relevant, but inevitable. The year before, our main topic was just simply, to learn how to cultivate shamatha, calm abiding, or serenity. There are different terms are used. That is, mainly to cultivate, to develop within ourselves, within our minds, have this ability to focus. Ability to focus on the topic, on the subject, whatever topic is selected, that our minds have the ability to focus and have the quality of clarity and the stability. Overall, those are the two main qualities, stillness and clarity. That year before, the main our meditation that I asked to do to cultivate stillness and clarity, I asked to use any form of object that you prefer, breathing, image of Buddha, or any object that you prefer to use. That is more, the general, or another term is used, common way of cultivating, the shamatha, or, the single-pointed mind. Common in the sense of, the not sort of selecting particular topic which can, sort of take further development further development of like a vipassana or anything like that. Just simply, such as using the breathing or image of Buddha, simply to build, cultivate those two qualities. And along that, then I mentioned some of the key means and methods that we need to bring within within ourselves, within our minds, build within ourselves. Those two, particularly two main tools, are mindfulness and alertness, or mindfulness and the vigilance. Those are the two main tools that can be used to cultivate that kind of mental qualities, stillness and clarity. And those two are still extremely relevant, need, while whatever topic that we choose, if we choose the mind itself, as I'm going to ask you to do that, and I did last year, as the object of the meditation, to cultivate stillness and the clarity. Those two tools are, sort of indispensable to cultivate that kind of qualities. And also some of the main, the obstacles that we face, and that can be summarized into those two, distraction, goba, and chingwa, mental thinking. So those two are the main obstacles to cultivate stillness and the clarity. That also we had discussion, and also here, this year's meditation also will face, those two obstacles. So the different, slightly different way to approach, the obstacle is same, the mental, distraction or excitation and the mental thinking, chingwa goba in Tibetan. Some of those things that we mentioned a year before, which is very common. I think many of you already know that. Therefore, I will not go into detail to repeat those points. But those are relevant, like mindfulness in the sense of, the being fully aware of the object of the meditation. In this case, the mind itself, that mindfulness is the mechanism to be aware of the mind itself. And also the alertness or the, the vigilance is the tool to make it, to make sure that there is a sort of high quality of mindfulness is present, not in a, in other words, like a monitoring the quality of the meditation. Alertness or the vigilance. So now, last year, the topic that we covered, and this year again, I'm going to ask you. We are going to do that. Cultivation of calm abiding or serenity, relation to the particular topic last year, that is the mind itself. Using the mind itself as the object of the meditation to cultivate stillness and the clarity. Stillness and the clarity. And in that case, we talk about several different points The first important point, or point not necessarily as a point, the way in which, you know, this meditation is done, relation to the, you know, the using the mind itself as an object of the meditation, then this in last year's case is cultivating serenity, and this year's case is cultivating vipassana,
So
there are two ways to do that. And last year, I think I had to mention briefly, and I want to repeat that again here. The two major ways to do that. First, in Tibetan, you know, tato ne gom cholwa. Tato ne gom cholwa. Literally, it means, based on your understanding of the right view, then cultivating your meditation. In other words, you have gained sufficient understanding of emptiness. Through that sufficient understanding of emptiness, then gradually leading yourself into cultivation of shamatha, then going to the vipassana. So that kind of way of moving, that is tato ne gom cholwa. Tato, tawa means right view. Sometimes term is used view or theory. It is not passive. In English, the word view may have a just passive, but here is active. Active in the sense of, through your understanding, sufficient understanding of emptiness, through that sufficient understanding of emptiness, then your mind leads to the meditation, in this case meditation, in the case of cultivation of shamatha. That's the one way. The second way is completely other way around. Gomto ne tawa cholwa. Gomto ne tawa cholwa, literally it means through the meditation. That means in this case meditation in the sense through the cultivation of shamatha, serenity, then try to understand, cultivate the right view, the understanding of emptiness. Understanding of emptiness. And that is the approach that we are following. That we are following now. Although many of you have, read, have received teachings, have contemplated emptiness, reflect on emptiness, have some understanding of emptiness, and that is really useful. That is very, very useful, that. But the approach, actual approach that we are looking at, we are following is the second one, the latter one, that is through first cultivating shamatha, using the mind itself as the object of the meditation, then moving to cultivate vipassana, again, in this case, using the mind itself. In other words, vipassana, not any kind of vipassana, the vipassana relation, the topic will be emptiness and emptiness of the mind. Mind is the base where the understanding of emptiness is cultivated, where the understanding of emptiness. So ultimate, in other words, ultimate nature of the mind is the topic of the vipassana meditation. So that is through the meditation, based on shamatha, then going to the vipassana on this case. So our one is the second one, which this is what the major those Indian and great Tibetan teachers have explained the different ways to approach these kind of method. So it is quite useful to bear in mind. Now then, if that is the case, if we are going to follow the second one, that is the true shamatha, then vipassana, that is not any kind of shamatha, not any kind of vipassana, using the mind itself as the object of the shamatha, and the mind itself is as the object of the vipassana, then last year we look at cultivation of shamatha, using the mind itself as object of the meditation. We look at three main sort of steps, three main steps. And this is very, very important, and we are going to, during this retreat, we are going to, I'm going to suggest you to use these three main steps, which I mentioned last year, again and again, from the different angles. And three main scales are, steps are, in the summary, in a term which is nicely put it in here, first I'm going to say in Tibetan, Mayeng. That the first one, the first step is Mayeng. That is, the term is used in English, it is translated non-destruction. Non-destruction. I will explain this again a little bit later. Mayeng. The second one is in Tibetan, Migom. That is, in English it is translated non-meditation. Non-meditation. That's the third, the second one. And the third one is in Tibetan, Sama. Sama. And in English, non-fabrication. Non-fabrication. So the cultivation of serenity, using the mind itself as an object of the meditation, and approaching that, the meditation, cultivation of serenity, through these three steps. First one is non-destruction, second one is non-meditation, and the third one is non-fabrication, sama. So now, what does that mean? What does that mean? How should I approach the first one? The first one, that is, the non-destruction. So non-destruction, of course, when we start to place our mind, right here and now, whatever, experiences, whatever feelings, thoughts are occurring, these are, in certain extents, these are destruction. These are destruction. Thoughts, whatever thought is here, right here now, whatever emotions here, whatever, is here, these are destruction. Because these are take our minds away from its nature. So the meaning here, non-destruction, in the sense of, when these thoughts, emotions are here, present, non-destruction in the sense of, in Tibetan, mind, sumarshak. Sumarshak, that means leave it as it is. Or in a certain extent, leave it as it is in the sense, whatever is there, just leave it as it is. Not to interpret, not to reject, not to provoke, leave it as it is. You know, there is also meaning of freshness. Freshness in the sense of you are fully, your mind is fully alert, fully aware of what is there. Emotions, thoughts, you know, the joyful, you know, or sadness, whatever is there, your mind is fully alert, aware of that, that in that case, fresh, soma in Tibetan. Soma, you know, like quite often in the Tibetan that we use the term when you go to the vegetable market, when the vegetables are fresh, you know, that is saying, it says soma, that means the fresh vegetable. So we need to learn to not to be distracted our mind by these thoughts, emotions, whatever is here, you know, whatever is here, we need to learn not to follow them, not to interpret them, not to reject them, just let it be there. You know, not to provoke, not to reject, just let it be there. And that is here one of the meaning of freshness, soma. It is not looking at the past. It is not looking at the future. It is just looking at the, you know, just the emotions, thoughts. And that is very, very useful to learn, to learn, be eased with our emotions, thoughts, wishes, longings, you know, not interpreting them. And this which we talk a lot, you know, last year. And that is the first step, non-distraction. Non-distraction, we should learn to not to interpret, not to provoke, not to reject, you know, just be whatever emotion, thought is there. You know, the good or bad, right or wrong, just not to give all those labels. You know, not to give all those labels. Just try to learn to stay with that. What is going to happen, you know, when we learn to not to follow, not to interpret, not to reject, naturally these thoughts, emotions, mental states will gradually subside, gradually, you know, disappear. And it is by nature. You know, not applying any particular antidote to make them to disappear, make them to move away from. Just as if we learn to, you know, to just to observe them, not to interpret, by nature they will go away. Sometimes when we are in a particular emotional state, we may feel, you know, this emotion has been with me days and days and days and days. We may feel that, but that is, you know, not really true. Now, during those times, during that period, there were gaps. You know, that there were times that emotion is not there. But we feel, yes, it has been with me months. You know, so that sort of things. And our usual, how we project that. And that's really the first thing that we need to learn. We need to learn when we are trying to understand nature of the mind, when we try to understand nature of the mind, then slowly, you know, to build, to cultivate with the mind the stillness and the clarity, you know, the shamatha. then that is the way how it is to learn, you know, the first step to learn. And, you know, and the second second step, it will be the, you know, that the term is used, non-meditation, non-meditation. Non-meditation here, the meaning is this, you know, the in Tibetan it says gosum, gosum hajang dimbe chingwa maimba. Gosum, that refers to three doors. Our three doors, our body, speech, and mind, are in a completely relaxed, free from tension, tense. You know that. Learn to, when we do this kind of meditation, it is very, very important, helpful to learn, be free from tension. You know, be ease with the meditation. And that is the way to the meaning of non-meditation. Meaning of non-meditation. Non-meditation in the sense of normally when we say, I'm doing meditation, all, you know, body, speech, and mind, all are in a tense, that sort of effort. Effort is, you know, that's it, strong, the effort is put, everything is should be right, correct, and ready, and then I must hold this object, otherwise I'm not meditating, and all those are not going to work in this meditation. Really need to learn. That's why the term non-meditation is deliberately used. You know, non-meditation in the sense of body, speech, and mind, all three are at ease, that very relaxed. And that's what here, you know, the in Tibetan it says like this, hajang dimba, hajang dimbe, chingwa maimba. Dimbe, dimba has a meaning of, you know, what's called screwing, you know, when you screw like a screwdriver or string, you know, then what is there? If you screw harder and harder and harder, eventually it will, you know, slip. If we have a thread, it was, you know, what you call the twist. Harder and harder, eventually it will slip. And it is the same, you know, when we are doing meditation. You know, what we need in that during the meditation, need this kind of very at ease manner, resting manner, not in a tense. You know, and that is what here this chingwa mayenba, zolwa meba, that kind of effortless, you know, without effort, let it happen, let it do. Not this kind of, you know, with the force, you know, not in that way. Just let it, mind, let it stay with the object of the meditation. You know, zowa meba, zowa me, rambab, hukbar shab, rambab, you know, again, it has this meaning of rangbab. It has this kind of meaning of as it is. You know, the rangbab. When we are learning meditation, you know, body posture meditation, when the, you know, the is explained, particularly lips, you know, chudang so rangbab sha. That means leave it your, you know, lips and, you know, the teeth are as it is, not in a particular, you know, manner, as it is. And it is here also have that kind of meaning, you know, just let it do it, not have that kind of forceful effort. You know, just let it do it. That's what here this second non-meditation, it is called it. Then the third one is here it's called non-fabrication. And here the non-fabrication in the namdo ke ngo dang teri ni yade tade. So when the thoughts, emotions, which are the, you know, conceptualization, which are the obstacles, you know, that we would like to be free from, and some of those useful tools which I mentioned earlier, like the mindfulness, like the alertness, you know, these two sort of sets up. One set which are the obstacles, and the other set which are the means and methods, antidotes, not to look at, not to perceive as a, some kind of very, you know, black and white, that kind of, you know, the distinct, you know, that kind of completely, you know, what you have in English, you have another term, chalk and what? Cheese. Yeah, chalk and cheese. Not in that kind of very distinctive like that. Both, although the distractions, you know, the mental thinkings are obstacles, and mindfulness, alertness are, you know, the what antidotes. But both, you know, groups of the mental state shares the bottom, at the bottom, they both share the same qualities, because both groups are mental states. So not to have that kind of, okay, these are the obstacles and these are the antidotes, now how I'm going to make them work and to remove, applying the antidote and remove the, you know, the obstacles. Not to have that kind of attitude. Not to have that kind of, you know, the what you call the, you know, the perceptions, on the one another. Also, you know, the when we say applying the mindfulness, when we say apply the alertness, you know, again, let it happen. Let, you know, mindfulness be, you know, let it risen. Without that kind of fabrication, bringing, saying, this is mindfulness, I want to apply. Not in that way. Just simply let it risen from the mind itself. As these distractions, they are risen, you know, like that. And same way, the mindfulness and alertness, also, you know, just let it come, instead of putting strong effort. And in that case, saying the non-fabrication. So a little bit. Yade tade nyembu tembe tabu mayimba. Rangri, rangse, rangse, rangdang su shakwa. Rangri, you know, in other words, both the groups, the antidotes, as well as the those obstacles, the basic nature of these two groups of the mind is the same, you know, because they share the as a mind, they share the basic qualities, basic nature. Although at the surface, they have a different functions. They have a different, you know, the different flavors, but the basic nature, they share the same sort of qualities, and let it, you know, stay at. So that is what. Rangdang su shangpa. Okay, now these three, which I mentioned quite a lot last year, and these three are again useful. I would like you to apply to during the meditation, and here the subtopic of the meditation, or the object of the meditation, is the mind itself. So now, how to use mind itself as an object of the meditation? And that is, many of you know, have experienced, it is quite tricky. If we say the image of Buddha, compared to the mind itself as an object of the meditation, it is quite straightforward, although we don't have at the moment, many of us, but we can construct that image of Buddha. If we say, the breathing, it is here, right here and now, or the sensation, But when we start to say the mind itself is the object of the meditation, so then what it is? How can I use that? And I think there are two things first we need to look at. The first thing is, this is very in a theory level. Try to understand or try to think some of these qualities of the mind, or the features of the mind, And here I'm going to say three things. Clarity, awareness, and emptiness. So three features of the mind. At this stage, very much in a theory, just to try to understand, okay, if I'm going to use the mind itself as an object of the meditation, what is it? What kind of features does it have? Then, in the Buddhist text literature, these three, particularly in this kind of meditation, these three features are mentioned. Clarity is explained as the mind itself has this kind of selching, it has this kind of feature or the characteristics as a clear, in other words, clear in the sense of ability to reflect on, the ability to observe, ability to perceive, and that is the meaning of clarity. So it explains from the point of view of the entity, and it's the second characteristic or the feature, awareness, rigpa in Tibetan, selching, selva, clarity, and rigpa, awareness. So this term, Tibetan term, rigpa, it has many different meanings according to the context, particularly, when you are listening teachings from the Nyingma school, Nyingma tradition, then when the term Rigpa is used in Tibetan, and quite often the term in English translated saying primordial awareness or awareness, at that context, it is using in a very particular context, in the Nyingma tradition, in the Dzogchen tradition. But here, at this stage, I'm using the Tibetan term Rigpa, is simply, you know, in a general term. General term in the sense of, in a general context, not in a particular context. The Rigpa, awareness is, in this case, is explained from the function, of the mind. What is the function of the mind? And it has, you know, the function to be aware of the things and events, you know, the, any kind of things and events, you know, the obvious like five sense objects, or the very subtle like emptiness, like impermanence. Our minds have the ability to be aware of these, you know, all the things and events. So it is described from the functional point of view. Then the next, third one, I used the term empty. So earlier I used emptiness, I will use empty, tongba. So in this case, tongba, empty, is not talking about emptiness, shunyata, you know, the voidness, not really, not connected with this. In here, empty in the sense of it is not material. It is not like a, material. It is empty of color, shape, or absence of color, shapes, taste, tactile, any kind of material. You know, it is devoid or empty of material. So those are the three characteristics of the mind. Yeah, clarity. It is more describing from the its entity nature from the point of view of the entity of the mind, and awareness. It is describing from the function of the mind, and empty. It is describing from the, you know, it is the mind is devoid or absence of any kind of material, you know, the matter. Mm? So that is the really just briefly explanation what is mind. Now, when it comes to meditation, in this case, using the mind itself as an object of the meditation, now then these theories are not straightway relevant. It will not work, you know, when you start to choose where is that clarity, you know, where is that awareness, where is this, you know, absence of material that I want to use as an object of meditation. It won't be that straightforward. So it is, you know, the mind itself will become object of the meditation while we are learning, while our minds are learning to, you know, to stay to the present moment, at the present moment, right here and now, relation to our minds. Whatever experiences is there, joy, sadness, you know, whatever. If anger is there, attachment is, whatever is there, learning to stay with it. And as we look at the first one, you know, not provoking, not rejecting, through that, then, you know, things will slowly, gaps will, you know, we are able to see, able to experience the gap between the different thoughts, emotions, and so on and so forth. And in between those gaps, then we are able to, you know, experience the having this kind of these three characteristics, feature of these three, you know, these three features, you know, the what you call the clarity, awareness, and empty. That feature will slowly will appear. As long as those emotions, thoughts, whatever is present right here and now, it is difficult to see, to experience, to hold that kind of mental state, pure clarity, awareness, and the empty. And how to clear away, how to remove whatever is present, what emotion is present right here and now, is again that using those three steps that we just briefly explained. According to the individual's ability. Also last year, I've mentioned three examples. And these three examples are very, very relevant, very, very useful to understand where we are and where we are going to go. And three examples are, waterfall, like a Niagara that is in America, Africa, like that kind of unstoppable, waterfall. Is it in Canada or in Africa? Niagara. So, initially, those emotions, thoughts, fears, joys, what is here and now, are unstoppable, like the Niagara waterfalls. But that is not obstacle. That is not obstacle. That is not some kind of, our meditation is sort of going back, No, it is the progress. It is the sign of progress. Up to now, we are hardly aware of that kind of, mental states, unstoppable conceptualities. Do you remember last year? I made a quotation saying that, from the Dhammakitti, tokpe chawa, net of conceptualization, net of conceptual elaboration. That is here, we need to gradually to remove that net of conceptualization. As long as that net of conceptualization remains, it is difficult to get down to that clear awareness and empty nature of the mind. And how to do that? As I mentioned briefly, those three steps, effortlessly, freshly, all those should be applied according to the one's own stages. And the second example that this text is mentioned, and I mentioned last year, is when this outpouring net of conceptualization slows down, then second example is like the big gentle river, those big rivers, when they are gently, slowly flowing down to the ocean, that sort of things. Although conceptualization is there, but they are not like the waterfall. The current are not like that. There's a gentleness. And the third example is, the depth of the ocean. The depth of the ocean, although full of water, but hardly there's any movement. No matter what is happening up, above the, the surface of the ocean, but the depth of the ocean stays very calm. Hardly there's any movement. And similar to that, when the conceptualization, when our mind, start to experience the clarity, stillness, clarity, awareness, and the empty, that when our minds, then those, the outpouring conceptualizations, will not bother us, will not disturb that to experience it. So those are the three examples that I have mentioned. So now, this is still, we are talking about conventional nature of the mind. Conventional nature of the mind and relation to, to cultivate shamatha, to cultivate single-pointed mind. Using the mind itself, as an object of the meditation. How to use the mind itself as an object of the meditation? Unlike the breathing, breathing is ready-made right here and now. Although the clarity, awareness, and the empty, nature of the mind is right here and now within us. But that kind of the nature of the mind is temporarily obscured by this the net of conceptual elaboration. And how to remove this conceptual elaboration to get it down to the mind itself, clarity, awareness, and the empty, that kind of nature of the mind, it is only applying those three steps, those three steps which I mentioned earlier. So this will be the one of the main themes, and it is also like repeating what we had discussion, what we had done last year retreat. And this year, in terms of the meditation, this will be again, I would ask you to do that. Using the mind itself, applying those three methods, three steps, and cultivate serenity or shamatha. Now then the another main theme, as I mentioned, is the ultimate nature of the mind. Ultimate nature of the mind. And this year I'm going to talk on that, and next year retreat, that will be the main focus on the meditation, the ultimate nature of the mind. So in this, that means these 4 years, then we will have a quite good package to do the meditation relation to the mind, conventional nature of the mind with the shamatha, and ultimate nature of the mind with the vipassana. So that is my where I'm moving. Now, before we have a tea break, I want to make this brief quotation. Then, I will elaborate that coming days. And this quotation comes from Nagarjuna. Aryadev. Aryadevs, you know, the like a, you know, the 400 stanza. 400, sometimes they just use, but the 400 stanza, Shivgeva. First, I will say in Tibetan, Leda nyamong sebe tar, Leda nyamong namdole, namdole, Leda nyamong sebe, Leda nyamong namdole, Teda trele, trebani, Teda trele, trebani, Tongba ni ki gabajur, Tongba ni ki gabajur. And this, this verse is extremely important verse, because this verse captures, you know, the topic that we are going to look at. You know, the, also this verse captures almost, you know, the whole package of Buddhist, you know, the sort of meaning of liberation. Meaning of liberation and how it is liberated. So the first line, ledang nyimong sebe tar, that means, you know, ledang nyimong, le is action or karma, nyimong is affliction, ledang nyimong sebe tar, seba, that means extinct or cease. So this first line, liberation means when the afflictions and actions, you know, led by the afflictions are extinct or are extinguished, are ceased, that is the liberation. So in other words, within each and individual, each and, you know, within us, when these two, you know, the afflictions and the actions motivated by those afflictions, when these two are stopped, and that stopping, that cessation is the Buddhist notion of liberation. Ledang nimong sebe tar. Tar means liberation. Then the next two lines, ledang nimong namdole teda te. So the next, you know, 1.5 lines. Then, you know, the, what do these two, you know, do? Like the afflictions and actions motivated by the afflictions. And these two will create, these two will create, you know, the conceptualization. Namdo, quite often translated elaboration, sometimes translated conceptualizations. In other words, these, you know, the, in, sometimes in Tibetan, term is used, tsumin yiji ki namdo, tsushin mayimba yiji ki namdo. That means, you know, the distorted or inaccurate conceptualization, you know, the, like all the, you know, if we look at in our minds, all the, you know, the hopes, wishes, or fears, difficulties, suspicions, all those, you know, conceptualization, elaborations coming from, arising from afflictions and activities motivated by the afflictions. And that's what here, the second line, Leda nimu namdokle, teda trele. So when this kind of, you know, the inaccurate or distorted conceptualization, you know, occur, then it, you know, that this elaboration continues. Trele. Trabani Tongbani Kaba Juro. Then how this elaboration, how this distorted elaboration or distorted conceptualizations are stopped. Durba elaboration or conceptualization, Durba ni, Tongba ni ki kaba jor. So Tongba ni ki, that means by the realization of emptiness, the concept, this elaboration will stop. Stop. So realization of emptiness, will stop those distorted elaborations. That is the last line. Tongba ni ki kaba jor. So there's this kind of saying, by the realization of emptiness, the elaboration will stop. Another version of the last line, instead of saying by the realization of emptiness, elaboration will stop, instead of by using that kind of active sort of sentence, instead of that, there's tongba tadatule toban tongba ni tu kapajur. So saying that elaboration will cease or will stop, will dissolve within emptiness. So this is, there is this kind of meaning of dissolving, or dissolve within emptiness. So there are these two versions, both are the same sort of text, same sentence, the verse, but there are two versions. And His Holiness Dalai Lama quite often says the first version, said by the realization of emptiness, elaboration will stop. That is, describing or explaining from the Sutrayana's point of view. From the Sutrayana's point of view, that is how the elaboration is stopped. Elaboration is stopped, by the realization of emptiness. But if we look at the second version, saying it dissolves within emptiness, then that is, that kind of version, that kind of explanation is more like the Vajrayana teachings point of view. As we know, in the Vajrayana teachings point of view, everything is arisen. The deities, mandalas, meditators, everything is risen within the emptiness, and everything is dissolved within the emptiness. That is what here, His Holiness quite often explains like that. And this is quite relevant to our discussion, our meditation and the topic, particularly the second one, although I'm going to look at both, and particularly the second one is relevant because when we start to talk, when we start to meditate, the ultimate nature of the mind, then in that case, when we try to understand ultimate nature of the mind, there are two ways to understand the ultimate nature of the mind. One way is seeing, understanding the mind is empty of inherently existence. That's the one way of seeing, realizing. In that case, the first version of the verse, or in the Vajrayana traditions, in the Vajrayana traditions, not pacifying particular Tibetan Buddhist traditions, in the Vajrayana traditions, all the gross mental states, dissolves either through the meditation or by nature, Then when it reach its basic nature, which is called the clear light, at that level, at that nature, then also it is called, you know, the dissolve within emptiness. So both way of explanation are relevant to our topic. So anyway, sorry, we'll have tea break. So at 5 minutes. So we'll come back at 20 past 10. Then when we first come back, we'll do a short refuge ceremony. I want all to come here.